Ekatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge, Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI. Welcome to the deep dive. You know, if you ever look at the U.S. today and wonder why things feel so conflicted, why there are these constant arguments, this deep dive is definitely for you. We're getting into Paul S. Boyer's really important book, American History, Ideals and Realities.
Yeah, and that title, it kind of says it all, doesn't it? Boyer's whole point is that the American story, it's shaped by this constant tension, this friction.
Between what exactly?
Between the big ideas, you know, liberty, equality, all that, and the actual lived reality on the ground. Things like slavery, inequality, constant struggle. It's the gap between the promise and the practice.
Okay, yeah, I see. So when we look at today's arguments about, say, equality or government power, it's not new.
Not at all. It's like the latest version of a fight that's been going on since the beginning. That's what Boyer shows so well, this gap. It's almost the defining thing about America.
Right. It helps you understand why things are so complex instead of just, you know, a simple story of everything getting better or everything falling apart.
Exactly. It gives you that historical depth to see it as this ongoing, unfinished experiment.
Okay, so let's talk about the historian himself. Paul S. Boyer, 1935 to 2012. He sounds like a pretty major figure.
Oh, absolutely. Got his PhD from Harvard, was a longtime professor at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Merle Curdy Professor, a distinguished title. But he wasn't just like a textbook writer. He was an analyst.
An analyst? How so?
Well, think about his other work. He wrote a book called By the Bomb's Early Light, looking at how the atomic bomb changed American culture.
Ah, okay. So connecting the big political events to how people actually thought and felt.
Precisely. And his perspective, it was really influenced by the social movements happening mid-century. He wasn't happy with just the great men telling the story.
You mean presidents, generals, that sort of thing?
Yeah. He really pushed for what's called history from the bottom up.
Which means focusing more on everyday people. Like regular folks, workers, women.
Exactly. Enslaved people, Native Americans, laborers. He insisted their stories weren't just side notes. They were central to how America actually developed. His history aims to be, well, more whole, more inclusive.
That makes sense. Okay, so the book itself, it covers a huge span of time, right? Pre-European contact all the way to the 21st century. What's the goal of covering that much ground?
Well, it's not just a list of dates and events. Boyer specifically avoids saying history is just the straight line of progress. His goal is to give you, the reader, the tools, the critical thinking skills, to see how the past shapes what's happening right now. It weaves together politics, society, culture, economics. It's integrated.
So the problem he's tackling is kind of fundamental. How does a nation built on these universal ideals end up with so much exclusion and conflict?
Right. And how does it keep redefining itself while wrestling with those built-in contradictions? That's the core question.
And he tracks that through things like colonization, moving west, industrial change, the fight for civil rights.
Yeah, all those big moments. It's a constant process, this wrestling with ideals versus reality.
Okay, let's dive into the specifics a bit. Early America. He starts right there with that clash, doesn't he? The collision of cultures.
He does. And he makes a point of saying the indigenous societies before Europeans arrived were complex, sophisticated civilizations. So Columbus's arrival wasn't a discovery. It was a collision, a devastating one.
Triggering the Columbian Exchange.
Which just completely reshaped the continent. Diseases, plants, animals, people moving back and forth, often with terrible consequences, especially for native populations.
And slavery gets established very early on. He sees that as foundational.
Absolutely foundational.
Yeah.
Particularly the decision to build the southern colonies on African chattel slavery. Boyer argues that wasn't just some side issue. It poisoned the well right from the start. It made the talk of liberty instantly hypocritical and basically guaranteed future conflict.
Which leads right into the American Revolution. You've got these Enlightenment ideals, natural rights, government by consent.
Big, powerful ideas.
But the failure to deal with slavery right then and there, it just undermines everything, doesn't it?
It's the central hypocrisy, yeah. They wrote these amazing documents about freedom while protecting the property rights of people who owned other people. A republic full of promise, but, you know, only for some.
And that problem just gets worse with westward expansion, this whole manifest destiny idea.
Right, the belief that the U.S. was supposed to control the continent, the ideal of this huge free republic clashing head-on with the reality of kicking people off their land.
Like during the Jacksonian era. Democracy for the common man, but
But also the Trail of Tears, the forced removal of Native Americans. Expansion created opportunity, sure, for white settlers, but every new piece of land just cranked up the tension over slavery. It pushed the country closer and closer to breaking apart.
Until it does break apart this civil war.
Mm.
Boyer sees this as more than just a war, right? A social transformation.
Definitely. The Emancipation Proclamation fundamentally changed the meaning of freedom. And the war massively increased the power of the federal government. It reshaped the nation.
Then comes Reconstruction.
Yep.
A period with huge potential.
Huge potential. You get the 13th, 14th, 15th Amendments, a constitutional revolution, really. But Boyer ultimately calls it a tragic failure.
A failure of what? The laws themselves? Or enforcing them?
A failure of will, mostly. National will. The laws were on the books, but faced with violent resistance like the KKK and the North basically losing interest.
Oh.
It all collapsed.
Yeah.
The Compromise of 1877 effectively ended it, letting Southern elites take back control, and boom, you get Jim Crow segregation for decades. The reality of white supremacy just overrode the constitutional ideal of equality.
So the nation moves into the industrial age.
Mm.
Huge corporations, massive wealth, but also new kinds of inequality.
Yeah, the Gilded Age, unregulated capitalism running wild, and you see the reaction, mass immigration changing the country, and then movements like the populists and progressives popping up.
Trying to push back.
Trying to get the government to step in, regulate big business, fight for workers' rights, women's suffrage, trying to make the economic reality match the democratic ideal a bit better.
And that push eventually leads, after the Great Depression, to the New Deal. Boyer points out something important about the government's role changing here.
Yeah, this is key. The New Deal wasn't just temporary help. It fundamentally changed the ideal of American government. Before, the ideal was small government. But the reality of the Depression forced a shift. Now, there was an expectation that the federal government should provide some economic security.
A permanent shift in expectations.
Right. And that leads into the Cold War era. Boyer argues this wasn't just about Russia.
How so?
It deeply affected life at home. It drove huge government spending on highways, science, education, but it also created this intense pressure to conform.
Right, the anti-communist fear.
Exactly. It stifled dissent, pushed for social conformity. Foreign policy was shaping everything domestically.
Wow, okay. That's a lot of ground covered. So stepping back, what are the main takeaways, the big themes or tools Boyer gives us?
Well, the biggest one, the master key, is what we started with. The American paradox, ideals versus reality, that constant tension. But Boyer says it's not just a problem, it's also, strangely, a source of energy.
How's that?
Because when groups who are left out demand their rights, they usually point back to those founding ideals, liberty, equality. They use the ideals to challenge the reality. So the contradiction itself kind of fuels change.
Interesting. Okay, what else?
A second big theme is the ever-expanding definition of we the people. It tracks how full citizenship slowly, painfully, and contentiously expanded beyond just white male landowners to include eventually everyone else. It highlights the struggle involved.
It's automatic.
Not even close. Driven by relentless social movements.
Yeah.
Then there's economic transformation and its social consequences.
Like industrialization.
Exactly. Or think about today, anxieties about automation, globalization. Boyer shows us these massive economic shifts always cause huge social disruption. The anxiety isn't new. The scale just changes. It creates problems society has to figure out how to deal with.
And the last theme connects to his bottom-up approach.
Yeah. The power of social and political movements. He really emphasizes that significant change usually doesn't just come from the top. It's pushed by ordinary people organizing, demanding change, challenging power.
Okay, so those are the lenses he provides. Now, Boyer's writing itself, does he have some memorable ways of putting things, key ideas?
Definitely. Not exact quotes, perhaps, but core ideas that really stick with you, like this one. Think of American democracy less as a finished product and more as an ongoing experiment.
An experiment, meaning right. It could fail.
Exactly. The outcome isn't guaranteed. Success takes constant work, adaptation. It kind of shakes you out of complacency, you know? Democracy isn't something you inherit passively. You have to keep building it.
That's powerful. What's another one?
Another focuses on diversity. He basically says America's diversity is both its greatest strength and its greatest challenge. This constant need to forge unity out of all these different groups. It's where the vitality comes from, but also where the friction points are.
Making unity at a difference. Hard work.
Always. And finally, maybe the most important for us, history isn't over there. In the past, it's a continuous conversation with Kosar right now.
The past is not a foreign country.
Right. It's talking to us, offering warnings, maybe some inspiration, but it's directly relevant to the struggles we're facing today.
Okay, so if that's the case, how can we actually use this perspective, like in everyday life?
Well, first, just understanding today's political fights better. When you hear debates about federal power versus states' rights or government regulation, recognize these aren't new. They echo debates going back centuries, literally to Hamilton and Jefferson. Boyer gives you the backstory, the context for the argument you're hearing now.
It helps you see the historical roots.
Exactly. Second, it makes you a more critical citizen. Boyer teaches you to question the simple flag-waving stories, to look for the voices that have been left out, the inconvenient truths. That's a vital skill for dealing with media, politicians, everything today. Look past the shiny ideal, ask about the reality.
Good point. And a third application.
It gives you perspective on social change. If you study movements like abolition or civil rights through Boyer's lens, you see, progress is almost never a straight line. It's slow, it's messy, it takes incredible persistence and courage over decades.
So it tempers expectations. Don't expect overnight victories.
Right. It's a history that encourages endurance, not quick fixes.
You know, what really struck me thinking about Boyer's framework is the role of unintended consequences, especially with technology.
How so?
Like, he shows how the cotton gin wasn't just a neat invention. Its efficiency made slavery more profitable, more entrenched, which actually pushed the possibility of equality further away for decades.
That's a perfect example. Technology isn't neutral. It has massive social ripple effects that institutions then have to grapple with, often painfully.
Yeah. So for you, what's the most valuable lesson overall from Boyer?
I think it's that the story isn't finished. The American experiment, as he calls it, is still unfolding. The big questions from the founding about who belongs, what equality means, what the government should do, they're still being debated, just in new ways, by us right now. The past isn't static, we keep reinterpreting it.
Which leads to a final thought for everyone listening. How are you, right now, shaping that historical record? By getting involved or by sitting on the sidelines as these fundamental debates about America's ideals and realities continue?
Yeah, it's a question for all of us. How are we participating in this ongoing experiment?
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.